know where the treats at.
Is this the passing of the torch, right? Is this what this signifies?
It comes down to that front office and what they feel is most important.
The champ is here. We've touched down from a higher plane. Why you made it here?
We always look forward to that week because it was always intense. You know that we ain't
coming back. We got to. The man, the myth, the legend, Dante Hall. My favorite player growing up was Dante Hall. I love you guys in the show, but Dante was my guy. Get to dashing because you're done on the war feet. Chief Concerns is presented by BetOnline and Olipop. Marcus Dash here from Chief Concerns. And ladies and gentlemen, it is that time of the year. It's football season. And you know what that means? It means it's time to get in on BetOnline. BetOnline is the world's most trusted betting platform and your number one source for everything football. BetOnline has every stat, every matchup, and even live odds and spreads to bet on during the games. Think you know your stuff? Get in on our $200,000 mega contest and pick five games against the spread every week for your chance at weekly prizes and a share of $200,000. When the game's over, head on over to our online casino and get in on a game of blackjack or poker or unwind with one of our 150 slot games. Head to the website today and get in on the action. Bet online. The game starts here.
Come on, baby. Go, 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 go. Yes.
It's a first down. This football season, I'll be putting down normal sodas like Coca-Cola for Olipop. Olipop offers a healthier alternative with its low sugar content and natural ingredients. Olipop is more than just a drink. It's a wellness companion that supports your digestive health. Packed with prebiotics, this fizzy elixir helps promote good bacteria in your gut, leading to improved digestion and overall well-being. So go ahead, click the link in the description and use promo code SODALOVE and get your can of Olipop so you can enjoy the game guilt-free. Go Chiefs. Use the promo code SODALOVE for 15% off now. Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of Monday Morning Tight End on your Monday evening. I'm Marcus Dash, and that right there is our guy, former Chiefs tight end, Jason Dunn. What's up, JD? How you doing, brother?
Yo. What's going on, Marcus? How are you doing, my brother? Other than being snowed in, going out there, and you know, obviously the ice is everywhere, sleeting. I'm doing fine. I'm sitting over here in I would call this my dungeon, if you can see up here. Welcome to the dungeon. Everybody likes the D-U-N-N-G-E-O-N, but I spell it this way. But I see everybody coming out here on the chat, man. Good to see you all. Come in and say what's up. What up, Neff? Good to see you, Neff. Good to talk to you today. I'm going to give you a shout after this is over. I know you're going to have some good stuff for me. You know, if you see my interview on here, he's always clowning, saying some good things on here. It's a great interaction with people on here. But I just want to say, everybody, good to see you all. If y'all are snowed in like we are, enjoy yourself, strap in. We're going to have a great ride tonight, talking about a lot of different things that we were discussing. I think some people seen it on Twitter, Marcus, talking a few things, but there's some good conversation going on right now and a lot of controversy. Everybody talking about the Chiefs and, oh my gosh, what's going on with them and why do you sit the starters and all these different things, right? The whole narrative of all I've seen today. And I was sitting over here when I got, I'm like, man, I got a little time today to get after some of these jokers who have been sitting over talking about the Chiefs, throwing this thing away and all those different things, man. Look, I don't care about none of it, okay? But we're going to get into this discussion, man. Can I say hi to everybody on the chat so far right now, brother? Let me go ahead and say, man, what's up, Witchy Hall, Greg Rose, Anna Chenault. So, you know, these are our crew right here. Greg Rose, Neff, good to see you. Ty Tofree, Stu Thompson, Rick Henderson. This is the ones I see in the chat going on right now. What's going on, my man? And I'm sure some other people are joining us right now to have this conversation. And look, this door and floor is open for you all. Ask questions, talk about a few things. Get some things off your chest, right? Get some things off your chest. I'll tell you what, I'm over here in Bengals country, all right, right now. And I tell you what, it's quiet like it is in the country. You can barely hear the crickets right now. And obviously, the snow's out, but you can't hear any of that. And you know why? I see a lot of sobs. I hear some sobs crying in the background, Marcus. You know, Bengals ain't going to the playoffs. They ain't going to the playoffs. And all I've heard is tee-hees and all these little, you know, little whining and this and that. That's all I've seen. So pin drop. There it is. Pin drop. That's all it's been. That's all it's been. So wonderful thing, man. How you doing? What's going on with you, though?
Doing fantastic, man. I mean, you mentioned it. Snowed in. I know everyone in Kansas City is in the Kansas City area is snowed in as well. And our guys, our Chiefs just landed there about like 2 hours ago from Denver. And you're in Kentucky, you're snowed in. I'm Virginia, I'm snowed in. So seems like a good part of the country is snowed in tonight. And there's no Monday Night Football tonight. So really, we really got no competition tonight, JD. I mean, if you're at home, you need to be watching that the Chief concerns. That's what you need to be doing. Listening to your grades and listen to us talk about some of the conversations you were getting into online today.
That's right. That's right. And to be honest with you, man, it's no competition anyway. This is the place to be. If you want to come here on Monday night, this is the spot. This is the place to be. I'm DeBrown. What's up, my brother? Good to see you. I am talking about you. I know you have some good things to say out there as well. We're going to have some good conversation. Andre asked a great question. She said, why is everyone so mad at us? Why is everybody so butthurt on the Chiefs and what we did and our success? Huh? Is that the problem? But I think Richie answers it perfectly because they ain't us. That's the reason. They're not the Chiefs. They want to be the Chiefs. They want to be in a position, and they're upset. They're upset that we finished up the season 15-2 after saying all the things that Travis, you know, Kelsey's too slow. He's in loss of step. Taylor Swift done taking him out of the game. Patrick Mahomes doesn't look like the same guy. He's not the best quarterback. He's ranked 10th in the entire NFL as far as what he's done. You know, we don't have a good running back. We don't have good wide receivers. Our line sucks. Our defense ain't what it used to be. But yet we're sitting over here 15-2. And we got the number one seed, Marcus. So let me ask you this question. Maybe I don't know this. I don't know. Maybe I'm not sure of it. But didn't everybody else play 17 games as well this season? Huh?
Yep.
That's what I thought. So everybody else had the same thing, right? Same opportunity like we did, okay, to get everything right. And guess what, Marcus? They also had OTAs, training camp. They had the same amount of days that we had to get ready. Matter of fact, I would even say, Marcus, that teams probably had a little bit more time than we did, right? So we won the Super Bowl. Other teams were out on vacation before we were.
Yeah.
Some guys could be feeling a little bit fatigued from playing in the Super Bowl. Oh, I'm sorry. Two Super Bowls after, you know, after each other. So it's long, long seasons we've been dealing with. And here we are once again, 15-2. So I don't know. We had to just figure it out, man. Maybe everybody needs to see what we're doing, okay, to get to where we get to. All right. And I always say this. Let me see if I can get this right. Let me show if I can skip. Can everybody see that over in the corner? Our standard becomes the standard. That's what it is. Our standard becomes the standard. So I'm ready to roll. I'm ready to roll in the playoffs, ready to get this thing popping. I'm ready to go ahead and get this three-peat out of the way and set and make history. That's what I'm ready. I'm ready to do. I'm ready to see it. So
yeah, it does seem. Yeah, well, Dolphins fans not so much angry at us. I think they're more angry at their own team because Dolphins, they had, you know, at least the Bengals won their game Saturday, right? Yeah. Now, Chiefs beat the Broncos. Then if Dolphins had won, Dolphins would have gotten in over the Bengals. Dolphins couldn't take care of business. And then shortly after the game, Tyreek Hill said he wants out of Miami and changed his picture on his Twitter picture online to, I think, Antonio Brown doing the with a shirt off, like doing the deuces. So not really a good optics there for that situation. Very interested to see what happens with that. But, you know, Bengals, yeah, I guess. And here's the thing, too. It's like we didn't do anything new that we haven't done before. Get to the last game of the season. If we have a bye locked up and our seating's locked up, we're going to do what we did, like we did last year. Blaine Gabbert came in. We won that game, but still, yeah. We went with our, quote-unquote, the JV squad. They played, and they won. And then years prior, Chad Henne went in before we lost a game then. There's been times in the past we've done this. This wasn't the Chiefs won the Bengals out, so they put their JV team in. No, that's not what happened at all. I mean, this is what we do when we have a game in the last game of the season when we let our guys, you know, rest. So I thought that was it's interesting that a lot of people are going with that narrative that the Chiefs just didn't want the Bengals in, and that's why we rested our starters.
that's crazy. It's crazy. Let me say this, okay? Anytime your fate lies on another team to win out or do those things, you're in a bad way. You are. And you hate to be at that team that's waiting for the losses and, you know, somebody to move this way and, you know, the needle moves into your effect to happen. And it's, you can't sit there, and it's the worst thing to see. It's the worst thing to be in that position, to sit there and like, look, what is this team doing? What are they doing up here? And I think Tyreek said, he even said this, okay? We'll get into Tyreek saying this too. But he said also too, when they looked up there and said that the Chiefs was getting beat, they was like, ah, well, shoot, you know, we know we're done. And what's the point? What's the point? Man, he had a somber, somber interview. And I was, toward the end, it just kind of took a left. I'm like, uh-oh, what the heck's going on? Is it triple Miami?
I wasn't expecting that at all. Because the whole thing was seemed like, you know, season's over, you lost, you're going home. You know, you guys aren't happy when that happens. But at the end, for him to be like, oh, I'm out of here, bro. It's like, man, what?
He made a great point, though. And it was, he's not about just showing up, okay, and just playing. And he's out there to win. He wants to be the best. I think part of the reason he went down there to Miami, too, is not just the money, but also, too, knowing he's going to try to play the best. And playing the best with the Chiefs. He wanted to show, man, I'm having a chance and opportunity to go play my old team, play my boys, guys that he loves, place that brought him in, he cut his teeth at, to maybe show them that maybe they can't win without him. And all the Chiefs have shown is they are able to do it. So he has a little bit of buyer remorse, of course, like, man, you know, was this worth it to come down here, get all this money, and not make the championships? He said this is the first year he's not been in the playoffs. That was a tough thing to see on his face. You could see it on him. It was weighing on him. It was weighing on him. So, yeah. That's a tough thing, man. It's a tough thing. So
I know he's got a dead cap hit at like 56, 57 million. So it's a lot. Do you see him seeing what we've got going on over here? Maybe trying to work his way to Kansas City to take a pay cut or something of some sort?
Oh, man, we too early to talk about that right now. We got too many things we had to deal with. You know what I mean? Let's go on with this 3-peat first. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because we don't. None of that conversation is necessary right now. So what he needs to do is go ahead and chill out, take a vacation, relax. Like you said, do the best thing he can for his family. But, you know, we won't deal with that until we get to that bridge, really. So why even discuss it? We talking about a 3-peat right now. That's what we talking about. Tyreek, hey, man, you got to handle your business, brother. Whatever it is, and next week, he might be fine. He might be okay because this is a hard loss for him. We understand that. Not making the playoffs, it really hit him hard. So sometimes you just got to take an assessment. You know, bring it all back together, man. Look at yourself. Like you said, it's a reflection. Then maybe after all the dust settles.
The other part of the whole Tyreek Hill thing, which is interesting, was when they asked Mike McDaniels about what happened, why Tyreek Hill left the game. He said, I have no idea. Making the appearance that Tyreek kind of checked himself out of the game once he saw a scoreboard. It kind of aligns with what he said. He saw a scoreboard, then he checked himself out of the game. He saw the Chiefs were getting dominated. He's like, okay, what's the point of me playing right now? And that's a whole new element to it, right? I mean, quitting yeah. in the middle of the game?
Well, from what he said, from the way I took it, was that McDaniels pulled him out. That at least that's what the discussion was. So I didn't know if he pulled himself out, if somebody pulled him out. At least I thought initially from his interview, it sounded like McDaniels kind of pulled him out. Like they both knew it. That was kind of like a, you know, both of them like, okay, like we know we're not winning this. No sense putting you out here in jeopardy because if you're still going to be a receiver here and whatnot, let's not get you hurt. And if there's no point of it, why keep playing? Why keep playing? So I don't know. I have no idea. But like I said, man, that's something neither here nor there, something the Chiefs have to worry about. That's something they're going to have to deal with. But I'll get a little information about that.
What McDaniel said in his post game was, I was informed that he was unavailable right before a drive. I was not informed that it was a new injury, and I think at that point of time, my focus was on the players, and I didn't take the time to go out and try to figure out more into that. There were guys in the field that were competing, and we were trying to win a game, so my focus was there.
Yeah.
So
sounded like both of them were pissed at each other. That's what it is.
And yeah.
They didn't say as such. So I just know right now, Tyreek is sitting there saying that, you know, he might be gone from Miami.
And he's going to be watching the Chiefs in the playoffs. And I will say this too, when there was right around the trade deadline, when things were not looking good for them, mm-hmm. there was times, we may have just talked about it a little bit, but he was going on his Snapchat stories and posting pictures of his times with the Chiefs. Everyone's like, oh, I think Nick Wright even talked about how there could be potential of a reunion at some point, with not this year, maybe next year. And then this happens at the end of the season. Just interesting, you know, a lot of weird things throughout the season where he's posting all these photos after trashing the Chiefs when he left, to all of a sudden posting photos and memories of his time with Kansas City. And then as soon as the season's over, get eliminated from playoff contention, I'm out. I'm out of here.
I mean, man, look, it hurt feelings either way, and it's all a game to put out these messages or whatnot is part of the deal, right? Keep you kind of like a cliffhanger to what's going on. But like I said, is that something the Chiefs might try to explore after this? Possibly. You know, our focus and only thing we're worried about right now is the three-peat. That's it, Marcus. That's it. But, you know, Tyreek and all that is a whole different conversation for later on. You know what I mean?
That'll be a conversation for February, after February 9th.
yeah, for sure. So, for, like the people in the chat, like Nev says, y'all right at the right time, and we are. You know, and I look at it like this, okay? You know, we understand that, you know, as a leader, you're in a position to make hard decisions, okay? All right? You have a responsibility to be efficient as far as, like, the guys that you have with the least amount of damage. And I think that's the approach that Andy took, especially with this game, right? And especially, but he still believed that the guys that was in there, he was going to be able still to achieve maybe having a victory against them, at least giving them a challenge. And I'm going to say this. I'm going to talk about just the narrative in itself, okay? Let's talk about the game here for a second. How everybody was sitting there saying, oh, my gosh, the Chiefs threw the game, and they took a dive, and I, you know, heard a lot of different grub, a lot of different stuff out there. So I'm going to say this. One thing I do know is, when the Chiefs, talking about the games, the Chiefs started out offensively with three Pro Bowlers on the field. Three. Okay? So when we talk about that, when we talk about backups, that's what I hate when I hear backups. Sometimes it just seems like guys are not, like, good enough. But when you look at this list of guys that actually played, Marcus, okay, let me go to the secondary nickel-wise. You had number 13, Najee Johnson, 27, Jamari Connors, 21, Jaden Hicks, number 6, Brian Cook, number 2, Joshua Williams. I would say all these guys are pretty much starters, right? Or have significant playing time. That's a nickel secondary, okay? Front 7, I say Dannon and Turk Pitt play. Minhu was out there, Bunnell, Herring, FAU. You had Uche, Nandi. You know, you had Tualapo. You know, he was in there. Tualapo, I think is how you say his name. Linebackers, Cam, Leo. That's what you had. That's your front 7. All these guys are players and starters. Every single one of these guys, pretty much, right? Only ones you can sit there and say, maybe Uche and Cam, obviously, they, you know, hadn't been playing. We wondered about Uche, how he's going to be playing. Looked like he was playing a little out of position, something they wanted to try. Sure, I get that part of it. But we start getting into this narrative that the Chiefs didn't have their starters, and here's the backup and stuff like that. I'm looking over these, I'm like, yo, all these guys play. They're starters. These guys are here. They get significant playing time. So, you know, just breaking all that down, what you had to look at and seeing what the Chiefs actually went out here for this Denver game wasn't what people thought it was. It wasn't. All the backups, this and that, backups, these guys play. These starters. So use it if you want to. But one thing I also too wanted to say is, you know, Denver came out with a game plan. Okay. They came out with a game plan to, to attack the Chiefs. That's one thing they wanted to do. And they schemed up. They did everything, misdirection. They pulled everything out. They pulled all their stops out. They were out there trying hard because they knew they had to win this game. They went in with a focus to make sure they was not going to lose this game. And they pulled out all the stops on it. When I went through this film, I was checking it out. They knew exactly what they wanted to do, you know? And so they did it. They tried everything. Man, fourth down conversions. I mean, you know what I mean? Like, the things they was able to do with the first three possessions of the football, the score. It's tough to do. It's tough to do. But, man, there's a whole lot of conversation, man, as far as dealing with what the Chiefs had to deal with, okay, especially against the Denver. What I loved about this, though is it gave us a lot more film. Things we could possibly see if we happen to see these guys again down the road. If these guys have a chance to beat Buffalo, which I do believe they're a good enough team to get it done. Without a doubt, the Broncos are a good enough team to beat the Bills. You heard it here first, okay? They have very good wide receivers, good running back. They got good O-line. They got a very good defense, that absolutely matches up well against a Bills offense. Okay, they really do. So when we see this go out in the playoffs and we start seeing what goes on, don't be surprised if you see Denver coming out on top. Okay, I wouldn't at all. So,
and I think kind of to the point you're making here is it wasn't so much our players played played bad, right? Or they are the JV squad, as I've seen a lot of people refer to them as. It was more about there was two different types of game plans going into this game. Mm-hmm. Denver, that was a playoff game for Denver. It was win, you get in. That was a playoff game for them. Their playoff started now. After they lost last week to Cincinnati, yesterday was a playoff game for them. Well, on the other hand, that was a practice for our guys. That was a scrimmage for our guys to come out there. Guys who maybe get some reps during you don't see it that way?
I disagree with that wholeheartedly. I do.
Okay, playoff game versus just a regular season game. I mean, it's two types of urgencies there. They had an urgency that we didn't have yesterday.
I would say that. I wouldn't. They absolutely was desperate. They know they had to win. For the Chiefs, you know, for the guys and the team in itself, we're running our scheme, the things that we need to do to work on. Okay. But these guys absolutely went out there to try to win. They went out there to try to compete. And so I don't want to take away from guys' desire and their passion. Okay. And one of the things I made in a point in my tweet was, I don't discount a guy when he's coming out there. I don't know any NFL player who's worth this salt that's going to lay down for anybody. They're just not going to do it. Okay. We're just not built that way. So when you go out there and you know this, you're a football player. Okay. And everybody else who's played football on any type of competitive sport, you go out there to try to win. Okay, and I don't care who you got or who you don't got. Anytime you line up against a guy, you are trying to win. That's the way it works. And so even if people don't feel like we had enough chance or this like that, the guys believed it. You had to believe it. You got to go win thinking, fine, okay, we don't have Patrick Mahomes. We don't have Travis Kelce. But we have guys that do have passion who wants to get this victory, you know, put in. And if guys are working with incentives, and obviously, you know, you look at Courtland. Courtland had to get incentives. He had to get 82 yards for, you know, $500,000 and other different guys to try to win their money as well. So there's some extra things there. But they had to make sure they won. That's why I said they had to pull out all the stops. Now, these guys and the coaches were very disappointed in their performance, okay? Make no mistake about it. When I'm sitting over there, I'm looking as far as what Spags and Andy were. They were pissed. When guys went in the right position to make plays, they were absolutely pissed, okay? It wasn't an easy loss for them. They were okay by that. They didn't come in the locker room and start smacking each other on and say, hey, man, you know, good job. No, they felt bad about this. You know why? Because these guys are competitors. These guys are champions. And they wanted to go out there and they could the guys that had significant playing time, they wanted to show what they can do. Without maybe a Chris Jones like they did last week against Pittsburgh or without a Patrick Mahomes, or without maybe a Travis Kelce, okay? Because everybody has, you know, respect for what they give to the game. Every single guy does. Every single man that's out there wants to make sure, okay, that they are relevant. And we can't take away from that. And so what I was seeing was a lot of this disrespect that everybody was just giving, or they took a dive. How more disrespectful can you be? It's especially now, and some people were sitting there saying those things, you know, about, well, these guys, you know, they didn't really try hard and stuff like that. Man, I absolutely disagree with that. Wholeheartedly disagree with that. These guys went out there bearing injury, you know, getting hurt to play a football game. And they gave it they all. And that's what I seen out there. Now, obviously, techniques, fundamentals, being in the right position was lacking. Making plays was lacking. Okay? That's what we seen. When I sit there and I looked at this game, those are the things, even during this year, some of the guys that were starters, okay, were still dealing with some of the things that we seen earlier this year about getting beat. So that's just the reality of it. It's the reality of it. But I just, for the life of me, I think that's what I was more upset with, is how it's just dismissive of guys when they play football. These guys out here, man, and they give their life out on the line. Okay, we know a guy can get paralyzed on any given play. You know, concussions happen. Guys have real injuries. And so one thing I don't ever want to do, okay, I don't want to downplay a guy that's out there on the football field who is worthy of respect. I just don't want to do it, okay? I know too much about it. I know these guys work too hard. They've been in there working as hard as all the other starters and all these other guys. And not, like I said, let me go back and saying, a lot of these guys are starters and they have played and played significantly. So that's my thing. I just want to make that point about it. Okay. That's what I make that point.
So if someone were to ask you, why was the game so lopsided then?
Guys just to make plays. You can, if you don't execute, it's the same thing. We watched Minnesota get beat. Minnesota had the guys out there.
Yeah.
They got their tails kicked. It was lopsided, wasn't it? So it don't matter if you got your starters or not. I've seen a lot of guys get butts handed to them. And so these are still NFL football players. So that's the lopsidedness, is when you have a team that's very desperate, who's going down on it on fourth down, who's going to be very aggressive, like we were sitting there watching, they had everything to win. They had to win. And they was pulling out all the stops that they needed to. And guys are going to go and perform. Like you said, their focus was totally like, we got to get in. Pure and simple. All we need is a chance and opportunity. So they wanted to make sure they was going to take it to us. That's what they wanted to do. Yeah. So that's the lopsidedness. That's it.
And that's why I'm not dismissing the guys who played yesterday. I'm just saying there was two different mindsets going to the game. I'm not saying these guys weren't trying to win, but there's an extra oomph on the other side for a team that's trying to play more football, whereas we already have extra football locked in. We have that bye week next week.
Yeah.
They were playing with a little bit more on the line, more at stake than the guys yesterday were playing, right? Because, you know, these guys are going to be playing in January or potentially February again, right? Whereas Denver needed that to do just that. Well, which is why I think I'm not trying to dismiss the guys who played.
No. And look, my brother, I get your point of it. I do. I truly do. But on the other side, you have guys who are playing for job security, looking to get contracts other places if they're not here with the Chiefs. And also, too, if I have a chance and opportunity to do something well, maybe if I'm not on the Chiefs, I'm somewhere else. And so I'm playing. This is my life here that I'm playing for. So I can't go out there and not just perform, okay? Because guess what? NFL, you can be cut. That's the way it works. You out of here. And so what you put on film matters. It absolutely matters. And when coaches evaluate other guys, we analyze other players, I need to see your effort. I need to see exactly who you are. I need to see your technique, your fundamentals. I need to see that you are a sound football player, okay? So if something does happen and we don't have that guy in, guess what? You're the next guy up. But can I trust you? Can I trust you? And if I can't trust you, then I can't put you in. So Spags and those guys had to know that. And I see people on here, and I'm going to get to you all in a second. I'm sorry. I know I'm kind of running my mouth a little bit. But the game plan kind of became vanilla when the game was out of reach, I would say. Before then, it was absolutely like, hey, look, we still going to challenge these guys. We just need guys to make plays. That's what we need to do. So who's to say if things change? If Nazi covers Courtland on that one, knocks it down, guess what? Hey, we get the ball. So we had to start thinking. If we stopped them on the two fourth down conversions, offense comes in, we get the ball. Why is Drew Tranquil still dressed? Why is Turk and all those other guys still dressed? Why are those guys, the three pro ballers, playing in the first part? So I think part of it is, the mindset is, if we're close to win this game, we're gonna try to go win it. And I guarantee, if it came down to it, we are not pulling Carson Wentz out to lose this game. I don't believe that whatsoever. Like I said, these guys are competitors. They want to win. So there's an incentive that other guys have that we can't necessarily measure. And that's heart. And that's passion. I can't tell who a guy is until I actually see him out there competing and put him out there in the circle, right? Until I put you in the ring, okay? And your back's against the wall. That's where I find out who you are, okay? Am I going to find out if you lay down? And I said this. You're going to find a joker that's going to lay down on you? You need to get rid of him immediately. Get him out of there. Immediately get him out of there. If you're not going to compete, get him out of there. So going back to the whole situation up there in Miami with Tyreek and those things, if Tyreek's sitting there saying he's around guys who's not trying to compete, who's trying to win, he's sitting there saying the same thing. Either I need to get out of here or you need to get rid of those guys. It's one or the other because you can't win with them. Can't win with them. Sorry. I remember, what was that? Mike Singletary said that. Don't want him here. I can't win with these guys. He can't win with them. And I agree wholeheartedly with it. As a player and as a coach, that's exactly what we're talking about. Heck, we talked about the dude that laid down the linebacker with San Fran. We said that when he pulled himself, he wasn't going to game. They said, well, we can't win with this guy. Can't do it. That right there, man, is an indication and it's dictative of your character. Okay? We got character guys here, man. We got character guys here. So I'm going to stop. I know I'm running my mouth. So we'll get to y'all questions.
You're good, man. GP says the linebacker Lynch they had out there was signed 3 days before the game day.
Yeah, he was. He's been a linebacker in the league. So for the linebacker, it's the same thing. Like, you know where you're supposed to be in cover three, cover two, man. If he's played in the league, it's all verbiage, terminology. That's it. So the basic things he should know. Maybe some of the more creative schemes or, more difficult may be a little bit different for him, right? But you don't put a guy in that you're going to call something that is going to be like exotic, like Tay said. You're not going to put him in for something like that, okay? But if he knows how to play linebacker, he's been playing it pretty much all his life, I would have to say, Marcus, right?
Yeah.
He knows where to be, okay?
Yeah. Yeah, well, it wasn't like he was getting a new playbook for to run routes, right? So a little different for linebackers and receivers.
Yeah, I would say yes, and I don't want to disrespect my defensive guys, but their book is not this thick like it is on offense. I'm sorry. See ball, go get ball.
Exactly. See QB, go get QB. Edge rusher, go get him.
Go get him. Go get him. Coach, what I doing? Go get the guy with the football. How about that?
That's why the Uche thing has made no sense to me as far as not playing him. I mean, this guy's got one job. He's literally only here to be a pass rusher, and he's not seeing the field for whatever reason.
Yeah. Teron Young said, I would say chemistry and immaturity is why we got blown out. Care less that we lost, but a blowout. Yeah, it was concerning, disappointing. And it is chemistry. Guys are not playing together. So, communication absolutely does go to your point. But I didn't think it was going to get blown out. I don't think any of those guys thought they was going to get a blown out like that. I don't. So.
No. A lot of betting experts actually had the Chiefs to cover the spread yesterday as far as that reason, because they didn't think the Chiefs' depth guys were going to get blown out.
Yeah. Andrea says, let's not forget Denver has a top five defense. Right.
Yeah.
Yes. Let's not forget about that. They're a very good football team. So.
Yeah, and is it, like you said yesterday in the postgame show, this is a team that we did beat by a block kick at the end of a game. when we did have our starters too. So
yeah, right.
Amda says, so why couldn't the Chiefs score in the third, fourth quarter once the game was out of reach? 98 total yards by the offense. Amda's really not pleased with what he saw yesterday.
No, I don't think any of them are. I don't think the coaches or the players are pleased. So I'm around you. You're not alone, okay? You got a lot of company in that. And so the Chiefs probably asked them the same question as well. So a lot of it is just execution. That's what it boils down to. So sometimes with schemes, and I see, like I said, putting out here vanilla, and, you know, hey, man, you could write as many X's and O's up. I could draw you as many plays up here as I want, okay? I could scheme a team up. But if you don't execute, and it's all blocking and tackling, that's what it boils down to. If guys are not blocking, guys are not tackling, doesn't matter what you do. I don't care how exotic your scheme is, how exotic the plays that you run. So once it was out of reach, it was out of reach. So, yeah, it was a bad showing. But at a certain point, I think any of those guys realized it was out of reach. Like, okay, all right, let's get these guys some very purposeful reps. That's what you want to be able to do. Because those guys that everybody's calling backups who's actually getting a lot of playing time, who are actually are starters, we needed for them to get a little bit of some experience doing some of this just in case something happens, right? Because last I checked, Marcus, let me see. We lost two wide receivers early on in the year, lost two left tackles from injury and just wasn't playing well. We had to move our left guard out to left tackle. We lost our starting running back at a certain point. I think there's some things we had to change up. We need to bring guys in. We didn't know what they were doing.
Yep.
And so I remember I say this all year. I was like, we could bring Rashee Rice in and throw him the ball all the time, right? It's one thing we do with the offense. Number two, why don't we get everybody else involved to expand on what we do? That just helps up your offense significantly. And once we start doing that, Travis Kelce started getting open. He started catching footballs. We brought D-Hop in, started expanding the offense a little bit. Xavier Worthy turned into the guy that we thought he was, a first-round pick, okay? Got Juju back. He helped out a whole lot. So we started doing some different things. Kareem Hunt came into the fold. Started doing well. So that's what I would say.
Yeah. G-Pick says Mahomes was staring down the donkey sideline when the game was coming to an end. Yeah, he was. Because he knows, they know, there wouldn't be the same outcome if he was out on the field.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, exactly. Yeah, hey, man. Enjoy. Enjoy. Y'all are in. But if y'all see us again, he's going to be at the helm.
Yeah.
It's a whole different thing. And guess what? Pat probably takes it personal, what y'all jokers did to us, okay? Go on, get your little full belly laughs and little, you know, pats on the back and attaboys. Go ahead, enjoy it now. Because when we come back, we're going to come for your tail. That's what we're doing. So, about time's in. What's up, about time? With you, Lynn, Julian is in here as well. Let me see. What else we got? Go for KC forever. Chiefs fan 1969. Good to see you all. Remigio was impressive. Yes, he was. Remigio was one of those guys, Chief fans, 1969, I'm going to talk about, that benefited off the reps that he got. Okay? He showed exactly what he can do, especially in a game like this, okay, which gets a very good football team. He ran some really good routes, looked very good. I wish we actually throw the ball to him a little bit more than what we did. But he was one that absolutely benefited off those reps. You think Remigio didn't want to win? You think it was just a preseason game for him? Heck no, that sucker trying to get on the roster. Yeah. We tried to do Marcus.
Yeah.
So it means something to him. Guys like that mean something. Means something to him. So the barbershop said, and Denver probably should have saved some of that injury for Buffalo. But shoot, they had to win first against us to get to Buffalo. They had to. But they're running their scheme. They had to make sure that everything was tight for them. You know what I mean? They're working on their stuff. So everybody's working on this stuff for the playoffs. They had to. And so what's the best way to do it is come into a well-oiled machine. You only know that by going out there and practicing and playing, okay, and playing hard. You got to play fast. The only way you're going to get that experience is playing this like that in a game. So.
Yeah. I mean, there's the one thing I have seen a little bit. Obviously, it's not so much that we looked bad as we did, and I think someone alluded to it. It's the fact that, like, we couldn't at least score 3 points. I know Butker was another thing a lot of people we talked about yesterday. A lot of people are scared about Butker's because that's the one kind of spot where, like, that's going to be the same group that goes out there. We need to kick a field goal when the playoffs happen. Butker missing a kick, but not being able to at least score some points. I know that was kind of a thing I've read online. Like, didn't expect us to win, didn't want us to win, but being able to score some points in that game yesterday was the only thing. But for the most part, most people understood that this was probably going to be the outcome coming into this game. Just not to expect, not to get blown out the way we did, but to lose the game just because we didn't have our boat. We didn't have our Bo Nix. We didn't have our Corlin Sutton out there yesterday.
I guess. Yeah, I'm sure guys believe that. Some people, for sure. I get those, but those guys in the room that were playing, they didn't believe that. They wanted to go in and try to win.
Yeah.
It was going to be a vaulted way to do it, right? They knew it was almost insurmountable, okay? You got to believe in yourself. That's what you got to do. Look, people say, hey, man, I'm a motivator. We got to come in. That's what you got to do. We ain't just showing up. Because the first thing you think in your mind, hey, we just going to show up, try to give them a good go at it. To hell you say? I'll be the first one in back. To hell you say? To hell you say we just going to show up? The hell we here for? We here to win. That's what we're here to do. I'll be the first one to sit there and say, man, everybody just think we're just going to show up just to give a good showing. That's not what this is. And I tell you what, if this is what you believe, you come in this locker room, and that's all you want to do is show up, then you need to find your way out. See your way out. Matter of fact, don't even put your pads on. Don't even do it. So for me, okay, for guys of my ilk, ain't how it works. We ain't taking that, okay? I ain't just come out there, oh, yeah, man, looks good. We're going to play. To hell with that. Sure, I'm going to go out there. I'm going to hit somebody in the mouth, okay? If y'all don't want to do it, fine. Give it to me. I'll go do it. You know, that's where it's got to be. That's the way it works in the locker room. So I get out here. It's a different world. It is a different world. But man to man, if I'm sitting there, I'm looking at another guy in his eyes, and I'm sitting there, I'm looking at him, he's scared, or he's just, oh, yeah, I'm just, shoot. Now, we're going to have a conversation. We have a conversation. So, yeah. What's up, Parson Rose? Good seeing you.
Do you think that played a part in it? I know Rick Hendrickson says sitting on an airplane for 4 hours on the runway probably didn't help.
And I mean, that never helps. It never helps. You know, but you know, you make adjustments, right? Shoot. Blizzard, I don't care if they got the daggone horse out there running. I don't care what it is. Find it. Find it within yourself. Find it within yourself, Marcus. It's how it is. Find it within yourself. Find a way to get it done. Find a way to win.
Yeah.
Find a way. So it was unfortunate, man, to see this game. I know everybody was disappointed in this, players and coaches alike, fans and everybody. But what these guys have earned was exactly what coach wanted to do. Two things he accomplished with this. One was, like I said, is he wanted to make sure that he mitigated any type of like injuries and stuff like that that could have happened to obviously Travis, you know, and your biggest stars. He wanted to make sure he wasn't going to put him in harm's way when he didn't need to. Okay. Number two, what he's able to do is he was able to get guys quality reps to go out there and go play against a very good football team. Okay. A very good football team. Top five defense, very good offense. And he wanted to give them experience just in case something happened. The third thing he accomplished too, and I said this, is now we have a lot of the film about them being as aggressive as they possibly could have been on offense. So we got film. We had film before, but now we have even more, okay? We know scheme-wise what they do. So I think Good Code or whatever his name is, Clutch Code said, Coach Beal's going to take Broncos out. Watch. We'll have to see. I'm going to watch. And I'm going to tell you, it's not so. They're not sold up at the Bills. I'm sorry. They're not. tonight. When we sit there and we watch the Denver team was taking the Bengals to the very end. Should have won. Didn't even have to be an overtime game. They should have just beat the Bengals outright and didn't get it done. They played, got their game up. So that's we need to understand how good of a team Denver is. So the barbershop said, I don't think our guys had that mindset yesterday. I really didn't see the effort. Maybe my eyes are deceiving me. Could be. I mean, I've seen effort out there on the football field. I've seen guys out there trying, scraping and whatnot. Also, what I did see, too, is guys that were tired. I see that's another thing, too. If you're not really getting quality reps, you're not always in a game. And then all of a sudden, you got to do, shoot 45 plays. Man, you're going to be beat. And a lot of these guys, like Cam Jones is playing special teams, too. I'm just like, yo. And I'm looking at the whole game. I'm like, he's tired.
I think he led our team in tackles yesterday, too.
Yeah. So, think Cam Jones didn't care? Joker was tired, man. I mean, this is like, that is something. Shoot, I remember, I'll even say this. I remember when Tony had gotten hurt. I think the one game he's ever missed, okay, against the Raiders. So I was the starting tight end. Some guys after me, and I remember Trent was sitting there saying, like, look, JD played in Philly. I played against JD when he was in Philly because he was with, you know, Washington at the time. He was quarterback. He said, I watched JD torches for about, you know, 97 yards. And I seen him. I know what JD could do. Man, going out there running all the routes and stuff like that Tony was doing. And I was like, ha. I'm like, this is a little bit, you know, I forget how it was, you know, stretching the defense and whatnot. It's a different thing, man. It is a different thing. So
because you had a different role and be able to, when you had to fill in Tony's shoes, you had to do a little bit of your stuff and then also his stuff. I bet you were exhausted.
I was exhausted. I'm like, man, maybe I don't want block as good as I was doing before.
Oh, that's hilarious.
And you when you get the play come in. You know, like, man, $9.99, which is like all go, right? And he's like, oh, geez. You know, you got to go and you have to influence safeties and whatnot to do those things. He got to come back to the huddle. And you just like, oh, it's like, you just have to come back. You know what I mean? So it's a little funny, but it's different. It is different, man. So I seen a lot of guys tired. Barbershop said guys are definitely tired. Absolutely was tired. So all of those different things, all those different comes to play. No names to Jay. Marcus, start getting Jay worked up. Can't help it. Can't help the world. You know.
JD, I think with obviously we're going to do our grades in a second here, and I think a lot of people are really hard on the guys. I know these guys, you know, people call them JV people, B team guys. These are guys who have worked their asses off and tails off to be on a roster. And yeah. It's not every day you can meet someone who has been on an NFL roster. These guys, you know, were all pros, all conference guys at the colleges they were at. And these guys are legitimate players. I mean, they're professional football players. And so I think this is going to be a very important episode for a lot of people. You know, for a guy like, you know, let's say Cam Jones never becomes a full-on starting NFL backer. These are games where, you know, he'll be able to point to in the future, like, you know, look, I played and started that game, led the team in tackles, you know. And I think a lot of people, this is an important episode, and these grades are important just because, you know, people can see, like, you know, what guys did do, what they didn't do, because not everyone watches a game. They see 38-0. They don't see in particular what that lineman did or that DB did during the game. So I think you guys really open your ears and listen to what JD has to say about some of these guys, you know, who, you know, a lot of people maybe call them JV players, but these guys are professional football players. And regardless of what the score was yesterday, they did give it their all because no one's trying to go out there to, you know, risk their life playing football to lay down just so the Bengals won't make the playoffs. That's just ridiculous. But
could care less about the Bengals. That's one thing I tell you. We could care less about the Bengals when we went in the game yesterday. Really. So they get all the Chiefs, one of the Bengals to win, and that, man, I said bring it all on, no matter who it is, okay? We're the best team in the NFL. best record, okay, and we are defending Super Bowl champs. We are on the top of the mountain. Make no mistake about it, okay? We are who we are. So everybody, the only one they need to fear is us. Pure and point, simple. That's it, Marcus. Nothing else needs to be said. So I can say everybody is top. Man, we ain't to bump all that. I don't care about that.
Yeah, exactly.
Let me answer, which is, she said, I was impressed that D-Hop didn't push for that $1 million incentive. If we had gotten down in the red zone, he absolutely would have went in for that, Witchy. That was part of the problem. We didn't get down there close enough to get the ball to him. But he was dressed out. He was dressed. I see him talking to Carson Wentz. You don't think we got there? Witchy, what we have done, if we got down there, he absolutely would have went in. We would have definitely gave him a shot to catch that football. Make no mistake about it. Problem is, we just didn't get down that close. That was a problem. Wasn't efficient. So.
Yeah. Which, you know, it can be on the game plan as well. And obviously with our grades, we always, JD always grades the coaching as well. So very curious to see how you grade the coaching yesterday.
I mean, to be honest with you, I mean, going to the coaches, listen, I said this, look, they understood what it is that they wanted to do. They coach these guys up hard. They weren't just going to leave the guys out there with nothing. The very first few drives that we had on offense looked like our stuff we ran. And it was. That's exactly what it was. We could sit there and say the coaches toward, you know, our second half and whatnot because the game was kind of out of reach, kind of went more of a vanilla type of deal. Sure, you could say that. But at the first, they absolutely came in with a game plan to you know, compete against these guys. No doubt about it. Same thing defensively. They put guys in a position to make plays. Guys just didn't make it. We didn't do anything different than we usually run. We ran man, okay, ran some zone. We had to stop the guys from running. And so they were doing a good job. They did a lot of misdirection. When you have new guys in, part of the communication comes in, some of the misdirection you have to do. So as far as Reed and Aggie's grade, excuse me, I'm going to give them a C plus. Give them a C plus, man. Because they didn't abandon that. I don't think they're what they wanted to do in the very first half. They didn't.
Yeah. Would you say it was somewhat of a vanilla playbook, JD, or no? It was just kind of usually what you don't. To me, it looked like I saw a lot of all hitch type plays where they were trotting out all hitches out there. That's what it looked like. There's a few times where I thought I saw that throughout the game, but I mean, I was like, okay, what kind of playbook are we going with today?
Nah, we was trying to push the ball down the field. Shoot, he missed the one. He hit that one to Justin Watson on the side. Watson had him beat. That was a touchdown. He hits it. That's six. So that ain't a vanilla play. You know, when we run in zone, which is that's our scheme. We run zone. We run a lot of, you know, motion. Those are some of the things that we did. Sometimes you just got to line up, hit guys in the mouth. Guys got to get open. So he gave them things that they could be successful with. You know, I'm not going to take that away from them. I do believe the first few series, that's what they did. Carson Wentz just missed some guys. He missed Justin Watson. He missed one out route. He missed a few passes. He looked a little shaky in that pocket, man. Just moving around. So that you know, a lot of it was on Wentz too.
Yeah.
Sorry.
A little rusty.
Yeah. So, you know, when you haven't been in the fire like that in a while, it's a little different. Then all of a sudden you had to put those guys in front of you too. You know, a lineman that hadn't played in a lot. You know, he hit his elbow. The one he threw to Watson, he hit his elbow. Okay. Yep. And Hanson got pushed back. Hanson had been on it. Love Hanson. We didn't shoot. But he got pushed back. Shoot. But, you know, you're going against a guy. He ain't chopped liver. So.
Reese 913 says, it looked like Wentz couldn't hit a house if he was standing in the kitchen.
That's wrong. That's wrong. I think, you know, for Wentz, man, like I said, in the fire, you're expecting everything to go right. He said it himself. He needs to play better. And that is a fact. He needed to play better. and he just didn't. I don't think it was efficient getting the ball out of his hand like it should have. I think once he started getting in, kind of getting throwing the ball a little bit, he had some good throws. He threw the one to Remigio just right on the dime. If he threw it one to Justin Watson, that could have been a touchdown. It's all a rhythm. Ain't no different. Just like any quarterback, you got to get into the rhythm, man. So QB grade, man, I'm going to give – oh, jeez. He didn't play well. But, you know, we understand. You know, he was 10 for 17 for 98 yards. Part of it wasn't, you know, some of it was fault. Give him a heck daggone. You be generous. D, I'm gonna give him a D plus. Okay. D plus, C minus is what he played. Okay. That's where he was. And look, man, I hate doing this grading sheet because we know the guys didn't play well, right? So I don't want to be out here be the Debbie Downers on things. They just didn't play a very good game, right? So how about this, Marcus? This is what I'm going to do. Okay. This is what I'm going to do. All right, go ahead. So D plus. What I was going to do, man, I was just going to give an overall grade for offense and defense and call out some guys I think did a good job on either side of the ball. Okay. How about that? I'll speak about guys. So let's go to the next one. Okay. So Carson Wentz didn't play well. So that was his grade. Running back grade. Okay. Carson Steele, we sit there, we watched him 8 carries for 25 yards for a 3.1 carry. Samaje Perine had 1 carry for 1 yard. Couldn't get anything going. That was another thing. Samaje should have got a little bit more carries, I think. Maybe they didn't want to put him in harm's way either, because he's another one of our guys that we catch the ball out the back. He's vital to what we do offensively. And maybe they didn't want to put him out there like that. But I thought Samaje should have got a little bit more reps than what he did. But he didn't. Carson Steele, same thing. Is, you know, he's got to get his head up. You know, we know he's not as shifty. You know, you know what you're going to get with him. He's going to hit the hole, he's going to go. He's going to run over some folk. So running backs, man, I'll give them a C, okay? Because what they did, they did come in and they did some good blocking as far as chips and stuff like that. They got out in the flat when they needed to. So they was able to give at least, you know, numbers and stuff like that to give Carson Wentz an outlet. So that's why I got him at.
Yeah, no, I agree. Yeah, it did seem like they were trying to kind of preserve Samaje. They only brought him in there for a few times. Did he get any carries? I think he might have gotten one carry.
One carry.
So I mean, yeah. And yeah. So the one catch for 13 yards too.
Yeah.
Receivers, JD.
Man, receiver great. You know, had Juju out there. Juju ran a couple good routes. Nico Remigio, for me, was a star in this on the wide receiver. He showed exactly what he can do. And I think Nico Remigio has made an argument why he should be on this 53-man roster and getting some more reps. And he's just been showing it. And I'm glad he played this game, man, because we had a chance to really see what he was able to do. Can you imagine him if he had a Patrick Mahomes throwing the ball to him? I think he's getting a good feel. I think Carson was kind of talking a little bit about getting a feel somewhat of it, you know, and he's kind of in that mode of like trying to do everything right. So he hasn't got to the place where it's grown. It's got the growth to actually try to get open as much. Okay. He's running his routes the right way, you know, stick and move. Man, he ran a beautiful out route. Beautiful. Set the corner up beautifully. He really did. Went to him, got on his toes, got to his upfield shoulder. Got up underneath him and did an out route. Perfect technique. Justin Watson had the one on out, the one down the sideline. Could have definitely done something better. Juju was somewhat of try to get one on Surtain. Got the pass interference call. I'm gonna give him a C minus. Wide receiver grade, C minus.
Yeah, like you said, I think Remigio is really done his thing since he's gotten playing time. The punt returner, yeah, he had that muff last week, but other than that, man, he's been solid. And I think, you know, if we're talking about the end of the wide receiver room next year, like the wide receiver 4 or 5, I mean, I think he is that guy. I really do think so. I think he's making a good case to be that guy. Obviously, we'll see how the wide receiver room shakes out next year, but I think he's definitely making a case for to be one of those guys next year.
Yeah.
All right, tight ends, JD, our favorite position group.
Tight ends, man, you know, they block. Hendershot was kind of out wide most of the time. Ran some good routes, caught some balls. I think he did a good job. Caught 2 for 25 yards. We seen Noah Gray come in and caught 1 ball for 1 yard. The one that Carson Wentz couldn't—he was running around, didn't know what to do, and kind of threw it out to Noah Gray. I think Noah was going, "Man, don't throw it to me." That, like, you know, it's just I don't know.
Getting his dude killed out there.
Yeah, Keystone Capers, you know, Keystone Capers, man. But I don't know as far as the significance of what they were able to do out there on the field, but I think they did a decent job. I think Peyton Hendershot actually showed me a lot. I like his game. I like his game. So I'm going to give the tight ends, I'm going to give him a C+. Because he could block too. He did some blocking as well.
Yeah. Hendershot's been solid. It was a shame when we got put on IR a few weeks back, but when he came back, it's good to have him for the stretch run here.
Yeah.
We've had some bad luck with the tight ends this year.
Man, I thought they was bring Tanya in, but they only had a couple guys that could move up.
Yeah.
I get it.
Do you think there's a potential we could see him in the playoffs as an activation?
I don't know, man. I would like to. I think he's a very talented tight end.
Yeah. Good red zone threat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right, DJ Humphries. A lot of people yesterday were clowning the guy, and then today I even saw somebody in the chat earlier talked about because I think Daniel Harms, one of the guys online who did like the All-22 film of him, talked about how he actually looked pretty good in the All-22 yesterday.
He did. He looked pretty good. From what I saw, man, he was getting off the ball. He was you know, getting at the guys. That one right here, I think it's the one Benito just got around him. He didn't even put a hand on him. But that sucker right there, man, so fast. He'll get better. We understand. I think Andy wanted to see what he wanted to do. He started the game. He got there, and he did a great job, I think. A good job, at least. The rest of the offensive line, like I said, we started out with 3 Pro Bowlers, okay? You know, Trey was in there, and Wanye was in there. We seen Creed, okay, and Joe. So we started out. We wanted to get them a little lather. That was good, just to get a little feel and get a little hits. And I think they were thankful for it. But the O-line, I think, played a decent job. I think they did a good job kind of coming off the football, blocking a little bit. When the guys came in, you know, Hanson or Zad and Sumaite, I think they did a decent job too. Not bad. I think Hanson got pushed back a little bit. So for me, Greg Rose, only 4 plays, but they had to get a little bit of lather. He did, you know, they had to make sure those guys were going to be in. So if somebody got hurt, those guys obviously ultimately would have been back in, right? So just depends how depth that would have went. But they couldn't just not do anything. And also, too, they're on field goal. So they got being on field goal, too. But the O-line did a decent job. I'm going to give them a C-. Actually, I'm going to give them a C. It wasn't too bad.
And just to, if you didn't watch our post-game show yesterday, JD did say, kind of echoing what Andy Reid said. And if you watch the game, obviously the beginning of the game, just see our Tooney, Humphrey, and Trey Smith play a little bit yesterday. But Tooney was playing left guard yesterday, guys, and DJ Humphries was playing left tackle. So, JD, you think if Humphries is healthy when we see our guys again next weekend, not this coming weekend, the following weekend, do you think this will be our left tackle when we get out there?
Yeah, I think that's going to be the lineup for sure, for sure. And like I said, Humphrey's got a couple more weeks, man, to get healthier and still get his feet down to where he needs to be. He's a pro, and Andy them trust that. He knows what he needs to do to get ready. I do believe that what you see in the very first start of the lineup, obviously, Juwan Taylor will be at right tackle. That's the way it's going to look going into the playoffs. And I like that lineup extremely well.
So there you have it. There's some people in our YouTube videos earlier saying that Tooney needs to be our left tackle going forward, and that's it. No DJ Humphries.
No, I disagree with it.
JD has spoken, guys.
He's a contingency plan. That's what that is. We know we can always go to that, so wouldn't be an issue if we need to.
Yeah. Yeah. If Humphries is getting cooked, then you know Tooney can be our left tackle. So absolutely. There you go.
Greg Rose said the line didn't look great because quarterback held the ball too long. I agree. Didn't come out of its hand like it should have.
Damn. So. Man, talk about getting cooked. What's is getting cooked here?
It is what it is.
All right, JD. Going to how do you think Spags called yesterday?
Thanks, Spags, man. You know, we talked about some of the like vanilla calls, and that would be the lack of obviously some of the blitzes. But he was putting guys eight in the box to stop the run. He was putting guys in man, same things they do. He had his starters that had started, Najee, Joshua Williams, Cook, okay, Hicks the one playing for Reed. Those guys in the secondary got the same calls they always do. And so he just wanted to see how they all work together. That was part of it. But I don't think that he did anything as far as putting any harm for him. He wanted to kind of make it kind of easy, just in case the guys that didn't play, like Uche playing off in space, right? And we're sitting there saying Cam Jones and those different guys having to play. Jamari Carmack played. I'm told you, our secondary, man, is that starters. The only one we didn't have was Trent McDuffie and Reed. That was it. So those guys had to perform, pure and simple. But I think Spags, man, did a decent job. He takes away the blitz package? Sure. Why not? Okay? Don't make it too complicated for guys. You don't want guys thinking out there. You just want them to play. That's what it boils down to. Football has not changed in 150 years, how long football been playing. Okay? And so I think Spags, man, I give him a C+, man. Give him a C+.
Yeah. Yeah, and when you say it like that, the amount of stars who did play yesterday, the guys who get a lot of playing time, you know, this wasn't, you know, whether it's good or bad thing, this wasn't our JV squad out there, you know.
No.
And I think it also just shows you how good Chris Jones is and how good Patrick Mahomes is that, you know, while these are a lot of guys who do play a lot, those guys are that good. They can kind of alter outcomes of games like they have been doing for Kansas City. And I think people need to really respect what 15 and 95 give us on a day in, week out basis.
Absolutely. Nick Bolton, too.
Yeah.
He calls the defense, man. Puts everybody in a position they need to make plays. Since people want to talk about he's not an elite linebacker or he's not that good. Leading the Chiefs in tackles. He's been an absolute monster for us. So,
give these guys a respect.
Yeah. Witchie Hall asked the question, is it just to know? No, Nani Sherry. Good to see you, Nani. Nana. We're going to keep Spags next year. If Spags, I'm sure he's being coveted right now, but it had to be the right situation for him to go. I don't know. That's my things. Spags, third and long defenses continue to fail, JD. And then on Spags, guys got to be in a position, man, Todd, to make the play, brother. That's the way it is. And I know this from playing. Like, you have zones, stuff that you need to be in. Somebody has to be in those positions to make plays. If somebody makes the short catch and cover three or four, somebody needs to be there immediately right now. And guys got to come up and make the play. Now, here's the thing. If it's third, and I think they had like a third and long. It was third and long, let me talk about. And, you know, when you see it, it's recognizing it. And go. You see it? Play with your eyes. Play with your eyes, see. Okay? So, that's just understanding. That's all it is. But going back to 9A Sherry said, I don't know. It has to be the right position for him. I think Spags like play, you know, being here. I know he would like to be a head coach somewhere, too. We'll just have to see.
Yeah, he says he's focused. I think they asked him a question last week. He's focused on
us
right now.
He'll take all that. Look, Spags is a good enough coach that teams will wait on Spags. They will.
Yeah. Yeah, meanwhile, Matt Nagy's getting interviews with the New York Jets right now, so we might – that'll be a topic for Wednesday, but a potential new OC coming? We'll see. or a new OC or a blast in the past OC, JD. A new, but new for 2025, not new from our organization overall. All right, Jay, you mentioned some of these guys earlier, Josh Uche, Charles Menehu in the D-line. How did you think they did yesterday?
Didn't really get a whole lot of pressure. Didn't see a lot of that. I seen Charles kind of get around a little bit. Just had to get off blocks. Guys getting double teamed up front, you know, kind of getting handled. And so when you don't have any type of pass rush or getting any type of pressure, it's difficult for the secondary too. Like I said, football ain't changed in 150 years. You got to be able to generate some type of pressure on a quarterback to get him off of being comfortable. And we didn't do that with Bo Nix at all that yesterday. Not at all. That would come with some of that, the blitz packages that some of the guys may not have known to do. But, you know, it is what it is. So the D-line, I think, when they did shed blocks and come off to make plays, they did a decent job. The D-line, I think, gets a – I give him a C, C minus. C. I'm giving him a C, actually.
Okay. How do you think Uche did overall?
I mean, he was giving effort. He's just a fish out of water. It's a different scheme for him, and I've seen that. So him playing out in space, trying to figure it out, and those things, is, I mean, that's where he has to get to. So maybe that's the reason he hasn't been playing as much, trying to pick up on some of the things that we want to be able to do with his particular assets, if you will, okay, and talents, Marcus. But he tried to get around the end on one of them. Didn't quite do it. When he retraced and tried to go get the screen, guys was already down the field. We were just missing tackles. We just didn't play well. Shedding to get off the block. So that's it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a shame how that kind of went for Josh Uche. I was hoping he'd be a contributing piece as we got to the playoffs. And just each week got less and less reps. And obviously, yesterday he got a lot of reps for, you know, a lot of guys being out. But it's a shame.
Yeah, just got to see what he's going to do.
Yeah. All right, so the linebackers, JD.
Oh, man. You know, Cam, I mean, he made plays, man, but he was tired. Leo, a little different as far as, you know, when he was, you know, trying to cover and Mike and run around. Didn't really change the trajectory of the game. Didn't really make a whole lot of difference. Linebackers just played, you know, all right, what they could. And you can see a difference as far as, like, recognizing plays, running through certain gaps, getting off plays, getting off blocks to make plays. But I think they just did somewhat of a, you know, what they could. And if you're playing special teams, you're running down, and then all of a sudden you got going on defense, you're tired. And then you got to go cover. Whew, it's tough. So I give the linebackers a C minus.
Did Bozeman play yesterday? I feel like I didn't even see Sways Bozeman yesterday.
Bozeman out there, no.
Yeah. I know you were excited about him on Friday.
Yeah, I was.
All right, so DBs, our final defensive group, JD, which there were some, a lot of people were excited about what they saw from Jaden Hicks yesterday.
Jaden Hicks came to win. He came to ball, man. He did. All he's done is just get better. And what he has done also, too, is he has made an argument to be in the rotation with the first team. That's what he's done. So he's going to be a pivotal part of what we do coming into the playoffs because he's a missile out there. He's a ball seeker. He does a great job. I like Jaden Hicks' game. I do. And, you know, I've seen him grow from where he is. And, you know, same thing. It was almost like Worthy kind of coming into his own. More reps he got, more things you give him, the more he's eaten up. And so he's grown up, man. He's a big boy now. He's ready for the playoffs. So other than that, man, DBs, you know, we kind of out of position. Angles wasn't as good as we should have been. We got beat deep too many times. Guys are kind of giving it up. I think for me, you know, and like I said too, you know, obviously trying to get pressure on the quarterback is vital to the success of the secondary, but sometimes secondaries just got to play. Now he got to get his hands up, man. You got to use your hands. You got to strike guys, especially when you're running man. You know, big receivers and stuff, man. You just got to be physical. And so we got to do a much better job of that, man. I give our DBs, man. I give them a man. I expected more out of them. Give them a D+, C minus is where they at with me.
Yeah. We'll take the bright spots, right? We'll take the Jaden Hicks coming to play yesterday and every week doing better.
Yeah. Better.
And another thing too, like, you know, we talk about who's absent from the game and we talk about 95's praise, Bolton's praise, but like 95 takes up a good chunk of the salary cap for a reason, guys. And not having that out there, just even though it's one guy, that's still a big chunk of our salary cap devoted to one guy, and that's for a reason. And then when he's not in there, it makes everybody else's job that much harder. And that's why, you know, DB's looking, you know, like they looked like yesterday.
Yeah. So.
All right. And then finally, JD, Dave Tobe and special teams, and everyone is pointing and looking at Harrison Bucker with a giant wide-eyed face right now.
Well, I said this. I said this on our show yesterday after the game. I felt like Buckner was the one that kind of looked like he was going through the motion. He kicked one man wide and didn't even look like he had a shot at it. Seemed a little lackadaisical, in my opinion. Far as special team-wise, I think we did – same thing. You only put him in a position to make plays. That's it. It's not rocket science. It's not. It isn't. You got lanes you got to run down. It's lane responsibility. Okay? That's what you got to do. So you're accountable to the man on the right and left of you. And you got to know where everybody is on the field. And so you're trying to filter guys to you to make tackles, turn them back in to make plays. You shed and get off blocks to make tackles. Buckner missed that one. Ariza had the one that went into the end zone. I mean, I give our special teams, man, I give them a C-.
Are you concerned at all about Bucker?
No.
Still not?
Nope. Not at all. I think he just needs that. He'll be fine. Playoff time, he'll be okay. I don't worry about Bucker whatsoever.
When, obviously, every badass kicker always reaches a point where it's like, okay, like he's finally hit a wall, right? I'm not saying Bucker's hit that. But I know a lot of Ravens fans wanted that a lot of Ravens fans were thinking about or saying they should cut Justin Tucker when he kind of hit that kind of wall this year where he missed like a bunch of kicks in a row just because, you know, this guy's been amazing all his career. Then all of a sudden this year he's hit that. At what point would you be scared or concerned about Butker? Where would you – what would have to happen for you to be like, okay, there's something in here that's happening?
I mean, if all his mechanics are off, time and whatnot, you know when you go through practice, you know, you take a watch out there, you look at his approach, you look at some of the things he might be doing differently. We seen him going down on the one knee last year, and he was killing it. So he's getting it down the middle. I really have a problem with that whatsoever. My thing is, if you get in outside of your mechanics, having bad mechanics, and then you're just off. Same thing as the timing, especially in special teams. That's what it boils down to. Just that transition from the snapper to the holder to the kick. That in itself is what you start looking at. I don't have any, you know what I'm saying, concerns for Buckner in itself. If you start sitting there and you're looking at him, and like I said, you start seeing some doubt, and you could tell from a kicker, they start having a little doubt and whatnot. That's where you might get a little concerned. My thing is, he's been a pro so far. What he's been doing, he's been phenomenal. He's one of the best kickers in the league, and he gets paid as such. So I don't want to create a narrative where it might not be an issue. I want to say that. Shoot. So I'm fine with Buckner. I'm fine where he's at, and I trust him wholeheartedly. And I know Tobe and everybody else does too. So if I had to put it on the line, I wouldn't want another kick in the league to go ahead and take that kick, you know, other than be Buckner. So I'm good with that.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, and that's I've seen a lot of people just kind of nervous about Buckner just in general, because I mean, we've seen him miss two kicks in the last four games, and so people are like, oh man, he's missed two kicks. Uh-oh.
Marcus, people are gonna be nervous about anything. Yeah. You know, I'm looking over here, Ty, who was that sitting there saying we got
Sin McBride.
He has a mechanical issue with his knee and is grinding the cartilage. Not sure he has even a year left on that knee. It's not the final on that reducing plant foot. He got that taken care of as far as in the surgery. I don't have any problem with that since McBride. Buckner, he's been doing it for a long time. I have no issue with it whatsoever. For him, if that's his follow-through, it is something that he's doing differently. For him, if it works, keep it up. Keep doing it. Keep doing it. So I don't look like he didn't release his plant foot. Maybe for him, that's something new that he's been trying. I don't think a kicker just goes out there and just like, oh, let me just do this one day. Don't work that way. He's got practice over and over again. You know, as somebody who was a special teams coordinator, special teams coach, worked with kickers a lot. And so for them, it's consistency, it's continuity and those things. And it's always approach and how you do things. But they are very meticulous on what they do and how they look at it. So we can be critical of these things. These guys are going to be more critical than we are as far as what they do. Okay. So just like happenstance, I want to just try it this way. Now they're so methodical in what they're doing. Okay. And obviously they're going to be somewhat of, you know, what word am I looking for? But for them, let me say it this way, for them, they're going to make sure they're trying to do it the exact same way each and every time, okay? And they want the guys that's doing the transition from the snapper to the holder and whatnot the same way. They're going to have a conversation. These guys are tight-knit group of guys. There ain't that many of them. So they want to make sure that everything is right. So if anything is off, they'll work on it. They'll work on it. So.
Are you saying, because I know tennis players, guys are very individualistic with their role, right? Like tennis players, mm-hmm. very superstitious when it comes to their movements and all the stuff they do.
Is superstitious. That the word? That's it. Superstitious. Okay. That's the word I was looking for. Superstitious. Thank you.
Okay. Because I know, like, when Rafa Nadal would come to the sideline, he would grab his water bottle the same way every time, place it down, and like get the other water bottle and drink that, and then put it down. It's interesting watching some of these guys work because they're so like locked in on what they're doing in their mojo. And we saw when Booker missed the kick against the Browns, he was rushing because these guys weren't out there, and so it threw off everything. So that was
the whole time, right? It was like, hey man, you don't have to rush, but he just put like, hey man, come on, and you know the whole transition was just off in itself, and that's why he missed it. So, So that's what I'm going to say, that people are going to fuss about everything. I see Rick Henderson. Rick, man, I know you always had one for me. If we had to go next man up, we are toast. No, we are not. Okay. It's the synergy. Guys could play within each other and do well. Okay. Sometimes when you know you have a Chris Jones and stuff like that, he can make other guys right. Bolton can make other guys right. Okay. And so if somebody comes up next, Bolton can get them right in the position where you need to be. Justin Reed can get guys in position where they need to be. It's communication. And so sometimes when you have that rapport and whatnot and chemistry with guys, we could be fine. We could be fine. And we were saying, I said this on the show yesterday, Marcus. Remember I said this? I said Carson Wentz with a Worthy, a Hollywood Brown, obviously a D-Hop, and then you got Kareem Hunt and Pacheco and the offensive line in front of you, he's going to look different. He's going to be a whole different quarterback, all right? So that's the reality. So
Yeah. Also, too, I think we're so used to seeing Mahomes. So when you see someone, it's not Mahomes out there, we're very we can be very critical of a quarterback's play.
Yeah. Butt kicker would be fine. Yes, he will. Hoping I'm crazy wrong, guys.
Yeah.
I don't worry about these guys. I don't. I don't want to go into these playoffs and being so out of sorts that we just so worried about everything. Okay. These guys are champions for a reason, folks. They are. Andy's one of the best coaches, if not one of the best coaches ever in the NFL for a reason. There's a reason the Chiefs have won, four Super Bowls out of 5 years, or at least been to four of them, won three. Okay, just correct that. But we're looking at, you know, the chance to be a 3-peat. Only time done in history, okay, to do this. And any of those guys up to the task. We had a team to do it. We got the personnel to get it done. So for everything, the road is laid. It is absolutely laid for us to win this thing, okay? They got to come to Arrowhead to come see us, all right? And as long as we hold down the fort, we hold everything down like we should, okay, taking care of home, we're going to be fine. We are going to be fine. So, sure, look at what Denver was able to do. Back against the wall, had to win. Pulling everything out of the playbook. I'm talking about Sean Payton pulling everything out. That sucker was coaching his butt up. You know, and Van Jefferson, he was doing it too. So, Vance Joseph, I'm sorry, was doing what he needed to do. And that was it.
Yeah.
So, they won. Good for them. But
now it's a new season.
It's a new season. They got to come to our house. Everybody got to come see us. That's what they have to do. So I'm excited. I think I see somebody else up there. I'm excited. That's right, Nana. They do their jobs. Their jobs to cheer them on. 1,000%. 1,000%. Couldn't be said better than that. All right? That part. Optimistic James. You'll see an optimistic James out here. So, yeah, man. We just want to make sure that we are supporting the guys like the way they should be supported. They're going to be fine. These guys understand what it means to be in the playoffs. They've navigated this space before better than anyone. And all we had to do is trust them. I do. I believe in them. When all else fails and we had to go on the road or beat teams, guess what we did, Marcus, last year? We beat them. Said we was broken last year. I ain't going to get it. They the worst team in the NFL. They went through everything. Boop, boop, boop. We just started lumping jokers up. That's all we did. So.
Yeah, last year we took the road less traveled by, you know, having to go to Buffalo, having to host Miami, go to Buffalo, then go to Baltimore. All three of those games, people were doubting us. Even against Miami, people were doubting us until it was frigid cold temperatures. And they were like, oh, Miami can't win in those temperatures. So there you go. We'll give Kansas City that one. And then we go to Buffalo. Can't win that. Go to Baltimore. You can't win that. And then
come on. They're playing a great. There's no way they're going to lose. And all this is we lumped them up too. Lumped them up. Right? And I said, we were going to go up here. Two things we're going to do, Marcus. We're going to get crab cakes and chin straps. We did all of that. So,
I'm pretty sure Matt Hasselbeck say it feels like this year is Lamar's year. He goes, last year, yeah, everyone's riding Lamar Jackson, the Ravens, because they're playing so well, but they haven't really done it that well this year. But like, you know, somebody tells me this is Lamar's year. It's like, okay, I've been hearing it's Lamar's year and Josh Allen's year every year.
Past 5 years, I've been hearing everybody else but Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs.
Yeah,
Burrow, you know, Justin Herbert, and all these guys. Oh my goodness, and he's okay. We just keep holding up Lombardis. You keep putting your money on those horses, okay? I know what thoroughbreds I'm going with, okay? This right here, KC, is what it is. This is what we're going with. So I think they've learned to doubt us, okay? And what we're doing, we're just victims of my own success. People's going to hate us. This is what it's going to be. Hey, we love to be loved. We don't mind being hated. That's fine. We're going to do with all of it. We're going to deal with it. So just get ready. Get your popcorn ready. Get your popcorn ready.
So obviously we don't play next weekend, but like we mentioned yesterday on the postgame show, our midweek Chiefs, our Chief Concern show this week, we are going to be doing a playoff preview. So we're going to go through every matchup, AFC, NFC side, discuss it. JD's going to give it. I mean, he's already given us a hint at who he's going to pick in the Buffalo and up the Denver game. But we'll go through the picks and how we see each matchup going for the playoffs. So, you know, we'll discuss some Chiefs topics, but we're going to kind of get the nitty gritty of the AFC and NFC playoff pictures as we preview the NFL playoffs, the 2025 season. I mean, the 2024, 2025 season has been amazing. These playoff matchups are really good, JD.
Yes, they are, man. It's some good football, man. And look, enjoy this time. This is going to be some great football, some great competition being played these next few weeks. It really is. And I can't, I'm very excited. Very excited. You know, we're going with the Chiefs all the way. We know what it is. But we'll watch everybody dismantle each other. We'll watch that. Okay. We'll sit back. We'll look at the melee happen. Okay. Corners just to come out. We're going to pick up the pieces and we're going to do what we do and deal with it. Okay. But I expect our guys to be spectacular when it comes to us. And like the beautiful people on here were saying, we just need to cheer them on. That's it. Okay. You cheer them on. So, Todd Toefree, Denver can't beat Buffalo. Why you say that? Todd Toefree. Why do you say that? Buffalo is beatable. What's Buffalo's record, Marcus? Hold on. Maybe he's...
Well, he said Denver can beat Buffalo, not can't.
Oh, can't. My fault, Todd. Yes, they can. Absolutely. Yes, you are absolutely right, sir.
We got a new name in here, Thomas Pinkerton. Hey, what's Thomas up, Thomas? Pinkerton.
What up, Thomas?
What's up, channel, buddy? Question, why are they hating on Andy Reid being the coach of the year?
Pinky, I don't know, man. I'm going to call you Pinky. Pinky. No, I don't know. I think they look at it. They expect Andy to be that guy. So they want to try to give it to a guy. Obviously, he has a harder road, and he's done everything to earn it, and that's what it is. Okay, Andy's won it, and they just don't want to give it to him. They expect the Chiefs to be up there. So
it's fatigue for a guy who hasn't won the Coach of the Year award with the Chiefs, which is just crazy because they really could have just done away with this right away. His first year when he came to Kansas City, taking the 2-14 team to the playoffs. Yeah. They could have just given it to him that year, but they just never did, which is just wild. But nonetheless, we'll take some more wins.
Yo, Thomas, look, let them get all of the other accolades. Let them have it. Go ahead. Get Coach of the Year for somebody. Give it to somebody else. Okay. Like I said, the only thing that we worried about in Lombardis and championships, Andy's going to go down as one of the greatest ever in this game, and that's all that matters to him. That's it. We understand who the greatest coach in the NFL is right now. We know that, okay? Nothing else needs to be said. So let them go ahead and make their little picks. Let them go ahead and do all the voting to get who they want, okay? We know who is the best coach in the NFL, period and point blank. So,
indeed.
Appreciate that. Thomas Pinkerton. Pinky, good to see you. Hope you come back and come check us out. So, Marcus, I know we're going to have one on Wednesday. Actually, I would love to have a conversation maybe on a Friday, maybe something quick, put some things out there. I don't know. We'll do it. But, you know, I love talking to the people. I love y'all coming in. Del Monte Green Beans, good seeing you, my brother. Good to see you come in. Good. Some names we haven't seen before. Great to see you. And the thing is, y'all guys and gals out here, we appreciate you so much. But you know, you're going to come over here. You're going to get it. I'm a guy that's played a game for a long time, coached it. I'm going to give you the real. I'm going to give you what we feel in the locker room, how we take it in, how we see these things. And so I could give you that perspective. Give you a perspective and cheering these guys on. I know a lot of guys that's on the staff there. So I'm cheap. I'm Kansas City through and through. And I did play for the Eagles too for a little bit. So I wouldn't mind to see the Eagles play, you know, and get in the Super Bowl as well. We seen that a couple of years ago. And everybody said, who a team you going for? I said, well, look, you know, Philly still got a little bit of my heart. Okay. They don't want to pick me, but my loyalty is right there for the Chiefs, baby. That's what it is. So
we need new merchandise, JD. We already have two of the 49ers and Chiefs. We already have Eagles Chiefs merchandise. We need something else. We don't need Buccaneers Chiefs again. Oh, unless you want to do Buccaneers Chiefs to avenge the loss from that 2020 season.
I don't mean enough because Tom ain't there.
Well, you get the rematch of the Big 12 showdown. Packers Chiefs could be a fun one. I know Chad would love that.
Packers Chiefs, I would like to see something like that. I just don't think the Packers have enough for us. Okay, Nathan, so. You still out here? ain't got enough. Ain't got enough. But I like Jordan Love. I think they have really talented team up there. They'd be a good matchup. But the three I do see coming out of that, four, right? Minnesota, Detroit. I think Packers, and then of course the Eagles. I think it was the four.
And we're going to see one of those eliminated right out the gate between Philly and Green Bay. That's a good matchup.
Yeah, that's a good matchup. I can't wait to see that one. It's a great matchup. Great one. So,
yeah, I'm curious to hear your predictions on Wednesday when we do the other show to see how you see things right now. If I remember correctly, we did this last year. We were totally on the opposite ends on a lot of these games.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll see. Playoffs is, man, I'm telling you. Where we at, like, it's for the season, playoffs. We up here, baby. I'm telling you. The energy is going to be up here. It's going to be out of the frame. It's going to be out of the frame, man. And I'm excited. I'm excited. I love this. I love this part of football. I love this time. I love this time. So
it's bittersweet. It's sad that, like, the regular season's over, fantasy football's over, all that stuff's over. But then you realize, okay, well, we're still in the playoffs. And, you know, we still have about a month left of football. So, yeah. So, guys, Wednesday night, tune in to Chief Concerns. We'll be doing our playoff preview. Tej will be joining us as well to do a little playoff preview as well. So we'll have the full crew on Wednesday. But everybody enjoy the episode tonight. And we'll see you guys Wednesday. JD, send us off, brother.
Listen, hats off to the Chiefs. I'm giving a toast to these guys. I got some nice cold water. For a an incredible season, playoffs. We're going to finish this thing up with a three-peat. There we go. So, congratulations, fellas. Okay. Taking us this far. Let's finish it up. Let's finish up what we started, what we came here to go do. Okay. And that is a three-peat, winning the Super Bowl, holding Lombardis. So, we don't need offensive player of the year, coach of the year, and all those different things. We want to be champs, baby. That's what it is. So I appreciate you guys coming out here. Optimistic James, good seeing you. DeMonte Green Beans. We did our cars and said, KC, we're going to be doing that. Ty Toe Free, Maria DeJondis, Andre Chenault, good seeing you. Hearts and Roses, Witchy Hall, great to seeing you. Sam McBride, good seeing you as well. Appreciate you coming in saying what's up to us. Thomas Pinkerton, first time in here. Thank you so much. Come back and come see us. Hearts of Roses, if I said it, thank you so much. Always good seeing you. Good talking to you. Greg Rose, I'm the Brown, my man. Charles Hankins, appreciate it, man. Good seeing you as well. Daryl E, just seeing you in here. Good seeing you as well. Rick Henderson, who we can go? Nana Sherry, Clutch Code, you said Macklin's in here, your cousin, J-Mac. Good seeing you. If he's watching us, J-Mac, shout out to you, man. Come out here on the show, man. We got to get you on the show. Talk to you. Love to chop it up with you, my brother. Love to chop it up. Big fan of yours. Kevin Marks, good seeing you. Who else we got in here? Perfection 2K, good seeing you as well. The Barbershop, as always, my brother. Always good seeing you. Kermit the Goat, good seeing you as well. He was talking about Ricks and Heat. About Time, good seeing you, About Time. High Value, High Yield. Seeing you sneak in. Good seeing you as well. Trying to think who else we got in here. I said what you hauled in. A Love Cloud. Good seeing you, Love Cloud. I didn't see you. Go Forever, KC. Hadn't seen you well. Who else we have? I'm trying to call everybody out if I can. G-Pick is in the house. Joe E is here on the frame. Good to see you. It's a lot. Reese, 913. Chris Pomay. Good to see you, Chris. Always good seeing you, my brother. Neff, good to see you. Lynn Julian, good seeing you as well. Neff, I'll be talking to you. Love you. Love all y'all. No name. Good seeing you. Listen, it's a lot. Finally get to say hi to you and say what's up. Wanted to tell you, appreciate your contribution coming in, watching us run our mouth. Chief Concerns family, we love you guys. We will see you on Wednesday. Come check us out so we can come in here, talk a lot of Chiefs, hollering about it. Give y'all a shout out, man. Love you guys. God bless you. Take care of each other. Be safe. Y'all out in the snow and whatnot, y'all be very careful. Take care of one another, all right? Stay warm. Marcus, same thing up there to you, man. I know y'all dealing with the storm like we are down here. hey, man, everybody sit down. Take it easy, okay? Enjoy yourself in the house with the warmth of your family and some fire and chill out. Have y'all a good time. Get some good food. Get some good Chiefs concerns content in your life. You know what it is, okay? Take care. Love y'all. Have a good night. Mark's my brother. Love you, man. We'll see you.
Stay warm, everybody. Stay warm. Get to hot cocoa. We'll see you guys Wednesday. Take it easy, everybody. Hi, everybody. Thanks for watching. Subscribe here to get the latest from the show. Also, be sure to check out the best clips from Chief Concerns. And if you prefer to listen to the show, subscribe and follow us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and anywhere else you get your podcasts.